All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunny Podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
You're looking fancy this morning.
I am. I'm all gussied up.
I was talking to Elise.
Thank you.
She's also all gussied up.
Thank you.
No. You got your...
You were looking at me when you said it, weirdo.
We sit across the table from each other.
As if you never look at Elise when you talk to her.
I put my head on a swivel.
That's right. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Podcaster pro, keep your head moving.
Yep.
No, people can't see
you. You got
me,
your collar on.
My head. I do have my collar on. We are recording just moments away from our Ash Wednesday services here at Lord of Life.
Okay.
Does that qualify as a choker, would you say?
Or? No, I would not. Okay. Under no circumstances would I say.
Asking.
This qualifies as the shirt collar and then a tab that goes in the shirt collar, but it's still very loose around the neck.
It doesn't go all the way around?
It's appropriately loose. This does not. No, it just pops right out.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, wow. Just
one smooth motion. Yeah. So
it's very efficient.
I went down a rabbit hole about a week ago about the
clergy apparel.
Close, the medieval monk like haircut.
Oh,
where
sure.
They just shave the middle and leave the side.
The what's that called? Tonsure. Yeah,
tonsure. Yeah. You missed having to do that by about that much because they did away with it in the 70s. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think that I missed it so much as a Lutheran pastor, but sure.
Sure
if I wanted to be that, yeah.
You can bring it back.
I will say I'm pretty close to getting there myself.
By nature, yeah.
Self-imposed tonsure.
Now, if you're like a rebel priest, could you get like a studded collar? You know, like
oh, sure, yeah. There, yeah. People do all sorts of different things. Like there
they
are people who have.
Them?
I don't know about bedazzle, but there are people who have intentionally worn like rainbow collars.
Okay.
There are people who have. I mean, you have like the full collar is obviously a different style. It's just the same idea, but just a different style preference.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you can.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Does it come with a leash? Heyo.
Does absolutely not.
All right, let's get to our news topic. You want to give us like? I guess at this point, it's not even a preview for our listeners. Well, how's Ash Wednesday going to go?
Ash Wednesday is going to be great. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you. Yeah, but we got Lent stuff going on all season, so keep coming out on Wednesday evenings at 7 and Sunday mornings at our regular times for all of your Lenten needs.
Yeah. So
especially if you need soup.
Right. Yeah. It is soup season.
It is soup season.
So. It was crazy cold a few weeks ago across the world.
It was.
So cold. So a thing in Florida was happening, and this is my new story here.
Oh, this is new. I thought this was still about Lent.
Like, no. This is my new story.
All right.
I got two, actually. They're connected. They're
are iguanas falling out of trees again?
Iguanas are falling out of trees.
Every year. Yeah.
Yes, they get so cold in the tree that they just fall out.
Yeah.
And they just like lay there. Super cold.
There are some people that live here in the area that I think that happens too, where it just
they fall out of trees.
Well, not trees, but it gets cold and they just fall. Like they're just done and they can't.
That feel.
Move.
Yeah.
Is this person you?
No, okay. I love the cold.
Oh, that's right.
I embrace the cold.
Yes, I hate it. It's the worst. Yeah, I'm with the iguanas. Yes, it's raining iguanas. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Not allowed to say that's Lent.
Hallelujah. Oh, we can't say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget all
these
rules.
Don't ruin it.
That is true.
If you say it, Jesus won't come back.
We didn't bury him this year.
That's not
Patrick
true.
Cassandra's not here.
We didn't bury them. That's true.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
We just don't say it. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't believe in burying the hallelujahs anyway. I'm more of a burn them all up and spread their ashes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But is it a cold and it's a broken hallelujah?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they fall out of the trees then. Yes.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Bring
it falls
back.
Out of a tree.
Great.
Now it's
great.
Broken.
Yeah. All right. So what do you do with these iguanas falling out of trees?
I assume you warm them up and they're okay. I mean, they're cold blooded. They can go into like a hibernation thing.
So in Florida, you can take them in to different places and turn in frozen iguanas.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know for what. I don't know if you get like a prize if it's a gotta catch them all situation.
Is this like, right. Do they turn to ice and they just shatter when they hit the ground?
Ooh.
And you're like
frozen all
collecting
the way through.
Frozen pieces, or like they just go thunk and then
I don't
like,
think that's cold enough for them to shatter.
I don't know how cold does it have to be to shatter
these
an iguana?
Iguanas are not in Fairbanks.
like the end of Terminator 2 where the thing like freezes.
Yeah, sure, I don't know.
That's pretty cold. Yeah.
I don't know how cold an iguana has to get to freeze.
Well, anyway, in North Palm Beach, Florida, they was like, what are we gonna do with these iguanas?
That is north. I mean,
eat them,
put them on a pizza.
Oh, iguana pizza.
Gross.
Oh. If pineapple can't go on pizza, I'm going to go out on a limb and say iguana cannot go on pizza.
So is the iguana dead when it freezes? Like, does that kill the iguana? Or do they,
no.
like...
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's just like sleeping. I think they still are killing the iguana.
Well, but they're easier to catch.
Sure.
Far easier.
It feels like cheating.
Pizza called the Everglades. It's topped with iguana meat.
Gross. I don't want that.
They think this is the first iguana pizza in the history of mankind.
I would imagine so. I don't know why anyone
Hopefully
else would have
last.
Thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can eat an iguana pizza.
No.
I mean, is there money in it?
Like, are you going to be paid to eat the iguana pizza?
I can be bought, yes. But like for joy, no, I'm not. Okay, eating.
Are you the kid who ate weird things for money at school? Well, your school was in your house. So.
Right. So
did
no.
your mom give you yeah. money no. to eat weird things?
No, yeah, I got an allowance for eating all my vegetables. So yes. That's where this started.
Your mom gave you money for eating weird things.
Got my it. Advice to all children out there is don't be the kid who eats weird things for money.
No, don't right. do that.
It will not get you any friends or really that much money.
Yeah. Right.
It might get you sent to the hospital.
Like, respect is not given by eating weird things
no,
for money.
It is not.
Don't be that kid. Yeah. What do you think? Would you eat an iguana pizza?
Seems unlikely. I mean, I'm not saying I would never try iguana. Like, okay, maybe, but just pizza does not seem like the vehicle in which I want to try that.
Okay, but all right. So you go to somebody's.
How would
house.
You want iguana? Like iguana taco?
I feel like fried would probably be the best option.
I want to not know about it. That's so how want I want it.
A mystery meat.
Sneaky iguana. Yeah.
like a chili.
Tell you know, me it's like, chicken. Yeah. And give me the iguana.
Yeah, they're like, what's wrong with this chicken?
It's like iguana. It's chicken of the trees. Okay. Yeah.
Is it chicken or fish?
I'd you know probably I've eaten reindeer pizza.
Sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Reindeer feels more within the realm of red meat that I'm accustomed to.
Sure. This is lizard.
Yeah, lizard yeah. feels weird. I have had rattlesnake sausage before.
I mean, yeah. I've had rattlesnake chili. Yeah. I've had fried alligator. So I mean, yeah, I've eaten. Yeah. Reptile,
sure,
yeah,
yeah, so.
Yeah. So maybe you know, in a sausage, something I can do. An iguana
I've had like frog legs. I thought they were disgusting.
Yeah, frog legs were not great. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
tough to look at too. You know,
yeah, just not like, into it.
Very
no,
leggy.
There's no getting around the long slender. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, not a lot of meat on that frog leg.
I had
too.
Turtle once in a turtle soup in
yep.
New Orleans.
Had a okay. turtle.
There you go. All right.
It's chewy.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, the Everglades is so popular there. They're looking for more suppliers. I think of
so popular because they had one iguana and they sold
of iguanas yeah, of iguana meat because they had yeah. trappers bringing in the ingredients.
What else is on this? Is it just iguana? Like just dough and iguana?
I don't know. This
iguana
article
lovers pizza.
Yeah. What do you, I assume cheese and some type of marinara sauce. Right.
You think it's red sauce? You think it's like just a garlic sauce on the bottom? Like
I think red sauce. Red sauce the classic red sauce. Yeah.
Cover it in mozzarella.
Mm. Oh, what other Everglady Florida things? Meth? Would you put on a pizza?
Manatees.
Iguana manatees and meth, yes. I think it's pretty good, yeah.
That's very judgy, but yeah. also a little accurate, so.
All right, let's get to our main topic. I would eat iguana pizza. All
right.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm game to try about just about anything.
He was the kid who ate weird
yeah.
things.
Yeah. No.
You would do it for free though, not for
that's
money.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay me.
when I go places, I'd like to try the weird thing.
I'm all for trying the new.
I don't want to eat the weird thing. I want to try the weird thing.
That's all right. Yeah. That's reasonable. Yeah.
So, like, all right. Christianity Today.
Mm-hmm.
Christian devotion.
Okay.
Does not undermine Christian charity.
Interesting.
By Brett Van Der Zee.
Van Der Zee. He sounds like one of the Olympic speed skaters that I've been watching
yeah.
this week.
Yeah. They're all Dutch.
Yeah.
Somehow. Every single one of them is Dutch.
Because they have the canals that freeze and they just skate all year, all like for their entire lives. Like they're like coming out of the womb on skates. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
makes them very good at speed skating.
Okay.
My toxic trait is that I think I would make an excellent speed skater. Never skated.
Yeah.
But like I used to practice. I was a kid and the Olympics would be on. I'd be like shooing my socks on the hardwood floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's how they practice.
You yeah. think this is more or less toxic than us thinking we could land a plane?
Less toxic.
A guy is talking me through it. That's yeah. I'm not landing.
Yeah, I can't talk you through speed skating fast.
I would have a coach.
I can. Go faster.
In my ears.
Right, right.
Go faster.
Don't fall. Go fast, don't fall. Like
yeah. Have you tried going faster?
Here's a thought.
And now you're gonna make this turn, but while you're on the turn, try to go faster.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there was that guy who won for Australia in speed skating because the people in front of him fell down.
Yep, there's
I'm
that.
Saying.
That's a thing.
Like, I think the entire team, like, all fell on each other.
Yep, the short
and
track.
And
yeah.
he crossed and was like, hey, I won.
Yep.
So, like,
fair and square.
We got it. Like, gold's a gold, right?
Short track is crazy. I love short track. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Christian charity. Let's talk about Christian charity.
Okay.
All right. So, he's talking about first the previously discussed topic on the pod. Which is the social experiment where a woman calls churches to ask
oh,
for,
yeah.
for baby formula.
Mm-hmm. We did that.
Yep.
See episode
whatever it was. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere
in the archives.
Yeah, I could go in and put that there, but I will not. I'm just letting everybody know that.
It happened within the year. It
within
was
within the yeah. year.
It was
for
in,
sure.
It was in 2026.
Within the last six episodes.
Yeah. So sometime maybe. January forward.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously Christian's got a little bit of bad rap, you know.
Some of us did.
And maybe well deserved.
And some of us did. Yeah.
But look, the reality is this, and this is statistically, you know, we got some stats on our side.
I love stats.
The evidence, this is from who really cares? Painstaking study of American charitable action.
Wait. Are you telling us who cares where this is from?
Or no. That is the name of the book.
Oh, the book
of the study is called "Who Really Cares."
Oh, okay. Who really cares? Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, not like who really cares about this. I mean, maybe a little bit about
that. Okay.
Who
actually?
By writer Arthur Brooks. The evidence leaves no room for doubt. Religious people are far more charitable than non-religious people.
Go us.
Yeah.
Good. In years of research, I've never found a measurable way in which secularists are more charitable than religious people.
So, go us.
Yeah. So I think some of the data is a little weird because like sometimes it counts like giving to a church as like charitable giving. And
we are a 501c3.
And then, sure,
a little different. Though,
it is a little different. That's it is different. And not, you know, obviously a secularist would not consider that the same as donating to a soup kitchen.
Right.
But probably the reality is across the board. I think even taking that out of the equation, I do believe Christians are still ahead when it comes to giving. I mean, like most organizations that work with the homeless are religious oriented.
Mm-hmm.
We have religious mandate and expectation attached to that.
Yep.
So I think oftentimes secularists would have more problem giving more in their taxes and let that go towards those types of organizations, whereas Christians are more likely to want, especially conservative Christians, less money to go to their taxes, but will give more directly to those organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've thought for a while that in a lot of ways we just have kind of a fundamental disagreement on how to give charitably, right?
Sure.
Like, it's just different avenues for them.
Cash. Under the table. Right. Unmarked bills.
Yeah, but I mean,
is that the official stance?
But there's a reason here in the Woodlands, if you get sick, you would go to the hospital, which is United Methodist. I mean, it's like there's a reason it's called that. It's not because the hospital's like, we really love Methodists.
Right.
It's because the Methodist Church paid for that hospital.
Like, or St. Luke's, which is run by the Catholic, or Memorial Hermann, which has a religious affiliation, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah. Hermann.
The Hermans.
Mr. Herman.
Yes.
The Hermanites.
Right. Yes,
of the Munsters.
Right. Church of Herman Munster.
Yes.
Very niche.
Are they hiring? I'm just, you know, just throwing it out there.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd be a shoo-in.
I think so. I feel good about it. Yeah. All right. All right. But the perception does remain, I think, in society.
Yeah.
Christians are all words and no deeds.
I think plenty of us are.
I think, I think plenty of Christians
the perception
are.
Is not grounded outside of.
Yeah, I think it's tough because, like, even though, like, the data suggests otherwise, I think the perception is there. And I think the perception is there maybe for a reason. It maybe has, like, an understanding, like, this makes sense. Like, that's what's, but.
Well, I think part of it, too, right? I mean, when we get back to, like, charitable giving, going to a church, right? When you look at churches and you see pastors flying around in private jets or driving luxury cars or having multi-million-dollar homes, it's harder to say. Yeah, that looks like a good use of charitable giving, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I can look at what we do at Lord of Life, and I'm admittedly biased, but I can say we're doing a lot of stuff in the community with the resources that are given to us, right? I'm not driving around in a multi-million-dollar car private jet thing, which does not make me holier than thou. It just is reality of, like, that's not how Lord of Life spends our funds. And so I think there are churches and congregations that are doing this well that don't, but we don't get the media attention. We don't have the bandwidth or the reach to have that draw. And so we're not a target or necessarily an antidote to that particular perception.
Well, I think the perception too can kind of come from a mismatch, right? When kind of some of the core tenets of what we believe are care for the poor and the needy, right? And then there is a big faction of us, at least, that argues so strongly against government benefits for the poor and the needy. So that can look like, okay, you're saying this thing, but you're arguing against this. And I think that that is warranted critique for sure, right?
Sure.
I think for some of these people, they're saying, but I am charitably
right.
donating in other ways, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, even with that perception being very well founded, that still they are donating.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
By
I've
and large.
I've often said we can go back and forth on what the government's role is mm-hmm. in like providing food assistance, right? You can say like, oh, I don't think the government should do that. Okay, but Jesus still says we should be providing right. for the poor. And you can say, oh, I think the government should do that. And like, okay, but Jesus says you should feed the poor. Like
right.
both of us
you,
have
you,
this responsibility
you,
yeah. that it's, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think part of the issue, you know, and I think Elise or your husband, Michael, and our Beyond Sunday group text
oh, yeah. Yeah.
on Instagram where we send each other funny Instagram
the
reels.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did see something recently of Pastor Mark Driscoll.
I was hoping we were going to talk about Mark Driscoll today.
Friend of the podcast?
Nope. Nope.
Frenemy?
No, just denied.
We just like to talk about him.
We do like to talk
dish about
right.
Mark Driscoll.
We do.
We've
yeah.
talked about him once.
We've talked about him a few
but
times.
But we loved it.
It was too yeah. many times.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's him from the pulpit.
Uh-huh.
From the pulpit. Arguing against government assistance for the poor. And arguing against debt forgiveness for students, arguing again, this is from the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
arguing
and claiming that each of these things is ungodly,
arguing
like not just saying we shouldn't do it, saying they're ungodly,
yeah, arguing against giving money to people who could work is ungodly.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. Now, ironically, I did look up Pastor Mark Driscoll Ministries in Tulsa, Oklahoma, did take a PPP loan that was forgiven by the government.
Look at that.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
That's public record. You can look those things up. So I was like, hey, I'm just curious. I posted that on that guy who posted that thing, and he did comment. So
what did he say?
He said, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I just didn't. Yeah. Resignation.
Full disclosure, Lord of Life had a PPP loan too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I have not gotten up on a Sunday morning and proclaimed
ungodly.
The ungodliness of government assistance.
Yeah.
So
yeah. But I think when you see that it is ungodly for either the government or to give money to people who could work, it does paint us all in this light of like, do Christians actually care about this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunate because there are Christians right now in downtown Houston serving a meal to the homeless through an organization I've worked with, you know, with our middle school students. And they're doing that every day, yet their voice is going to be relatively small, and Mark Driscoll's is going to be much larger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and so I think that is going to be there. So I think one of the things that this article is going to get into is he says it's a mistake oftentimes to pit worship and service against one another of like what is important for the Christian life.
Mm.
And asking those questions will diminish our worship and service alike.
So he's saying that people think they have to choose worship or service?
Yeah, or which is most important, like attaching that, like what is the signifier of your Christian faith? Sunday morning attendance and worship or care and concern for the poor and the needy?
What you got?
I think that service can be an act of worship itself, right? Like, and I would say I don't know that it goes the other direction, right? Like, for me, worship is a thing that we kind of do for us more. Like, it's more to fill our own buckets, right? More, not solely. And service is more external. And we talk about, like, how, you know, they will know us by the way that we love other people, right? Like, to me, it seems like actually the focus should be more heavily on service than worship. If you have to, I mean, there's only so many hours in a day, right? So
sure.
If you have to pick one that's going to be your focus, I would lean service oriented.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, right? I mean, if we're gathering for worship 1 hour a week, right? You've got, I don't know, 24 times 7 minus 1 hours in the rest of the week.
Math is hard.
That's a number.
Great.
All those other hours out there where you can be living that. That's right. So I hear what you're saying. I would not elevate worship above service, but I don't think that you can separate them, right? I think that they're intrinsically linked, and in that if you are living a life that is dedicated to worshiping on a regular basis, you're going to be driven to serve on a regular basis. And if you're serving on a regular basis, you're going to need that opportunity to come back and worship and have your bucket filled, right? Like, mm-hmm. these things live together, and they have to live together. And can we separate them? Yes. But neither one of them is in its fullness when they're separated. And so it's not like, oh, I can just worship and I'm a good Christian. Well, you're a good Christian because Jesus loves you, regardless of the fact that you're only worshiping and you're not serving anyone, right? Yeah. Or Jesus loves you regardless of the fact that you're only serving people and you're not a part of a faith community that's building you up. Like, Jesus loves you regardless.
Right.
And so get that out of the way and just say, how can I do this best for the world around me? And I think you have to hold them in tension with one another to let them support one another.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I'm with this idea, like, separating these things or pitting them against one another ultimately does disservice to both. I mean, and I'm with him on this one. Like, this is how you actually, you know, connect to God. Mm-hmm. I think both of those ways are how you connect to God. Yeah, and in reality, the life of a Christian should include both of those things in tandem, working together. And I think they're both important. But I do understand that it's easy to kind of put weight on one versus the other for different kinds of Christian. I do get the desire or the intent behind that, and that's where we are. So he's going to talk about Matthew 25.
I will say this
before, or not Matthew 25.
Before you, while you're looking that up, if you're going to lean one way or the other, I hear what you're saying, and I think you do more for the world if you lean into service, right?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking from the perspective of people who are trying to check boxes for themselves, right?
Sure.
Like, which I think is a lot of people, and not with any malintent, right? Just kind of on autopilot, right? And so, like, to me, if I was going to think, okay, what would I want people to lean more heavily into?
Yeah.
I would say service, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to go one way, I think you do a lot more for the people, or for the community around you. I think there's a lot more benefit for the world around you if you're leaning into service than if you're just leaning into worship.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately, when I look at the life of faith, you need both, right? And you to separate them out is ultimately folly.
Right.
Yeah, so we talk about Matthew 26. This is a story of a woman comes to Jesus, got a big jar of perfume, breaks it, and pours it all over Jesus' feet.
I think she just opens it.
Well, yeah, I don't care. I think I like the idea that she breaks it.
On the feet.
So I think she raises it above her head, separates it like you do the bread, just...
Oh, wow, just like breaks apart a clay jar.
Very strong.
Very clean break, yeah. All over Jesus' feet. Jesus, you know, says, hey, this is a beautiful act of worship. Mm-hmm. And then that Judas was like, we could have
the one who betrays Jesus, not the other Judas. There was another Judas. I know. Wasn't him, not that guy.
Poor guy.
That guy should have just changed his name, if I'm being honest, at that point. Just like, can we just call me, can we just call me Jude? I'll just go by Jude.
That's fine. Like, J-Man?
Anything.
Yeah. I was like, hey, shouldn't we have given this money to the poor?
Virtue signaling Judas.
And shouldn't you have given your money to the poor, which is always good. Everybody's a master at spending other people's money.
I'm very good at it.
And Jesus says this weird line, the poor you will always have with you. And that has been used by Christians quite inappropriately
and frequently
to basically be like, look, there's always going to be poor people. Yep. So you can only do so much.
It's ungodly to give poor people food because they're always going to be there.
Yeah. Like trying to end wealth inequality.
Oh, my goodness. It's such a waste of time.
You might as well. Jesus already declared it.
Might as well just be wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he saying that to Judas, though? Like, kind of as a, like, what are you doing about the poor?
we're saying that's all wrong, just to be clear.
You are, but I was just trying to clarify for myself. Isn't he saying that to Judas? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think there is something to say, like, Jesus's point is that the poor, or acts of worship in the poor, are not separate from one another, right? Like, you know, it's not, this act of worship for Jesus is just as valid as giving the money to the poor. Judas's problem is that Judas is trying to use this as an excuse, right? Trying to point out what somebody else is doing wrong, rather than Judas saying, like, oh, I am not worshiping God. Oh, right. I am not aligned with, right? Like, yeah, it's much more nuanced and isolated to this particular incident than it is Jesus being like, don't give money to the poor. Like,
Because there's always going to be somebody who's poor, duh. Yeah.
Ignore everything else I've said.
Right. Yeah. Up to this point, but this this lotion on my feet feels so good. Right. I'm just like, nah, all that was terrible.
Yeah,
nah.
Worth it. Forget about poor people.
All right. So he's going to say, Jesus is, you know, giving us a fragment of a verse in Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes Jesus will do this.
He does.
Gives us a fragment of a verse or a section of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's not just to be like, this is the one sentence that actually matters. He's not like... sometimes like some Christians where we look at a verse and be like, I like this sentence.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everything around it I don't care about.
Sure.
But just to be like, it's kind of like a shorthand. Like I say this and it's I mean all of it.
Yep.
And so the verse, you know, is, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. So it's an acknowledgement that there may always be people in need.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Mm-hmm. Like the work will may never be done, but it should always be done.
Right.
Or we should always be doing it.
Yeah.
So like, and I think that that is an important thing that we're kind of doing when this happens. It could be acknowledgement like, yeah, there may always be addiction. There may always be homelessness. There may always be people who are victims of wealth inequality. That may be true. And yet the life of a Christian should be continuously trying to solve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe we never get there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we should never stop solving it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like, yeah, saying the poor will always be with you is not like a curse on the poor or not like a, hey, just ignore them and ignore their needs. It's an acknowledgement of the pain of the world in which we live. And until Jesus comes back, we have a responsibility to care for them. We have an responsibility to open our hand. I don't remember exactly how you said it from Deuteronomy, to open your hand and to care for that. And yeah, that's, and I think if we're doing worship well, that's what worship drives us to, right? Like worship drives us to care for people because we come to this place and we're fed and we're nourished in ways that we ourselves don't deserve. And we realize that we have nothing but to go out and do that for others because this is, thing has been done for us. And I think if we're doing that well, which many places in my opinion, are not. But if we're doing that well, I think that's what we're driven to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like this woman who, you know, pours this all over Jesus' feet, like her act of devotion is not valid because it's wealth that's being wasted, right? It's valid because it is an act of love for Jesus and an acknowledgement of what Jesus is doing for her that she cannot forgive or repay. And the hope then is that she turns around from this act and goes and does this thing for other people. I mean, there's another story where Jesus is confronted with a woman who's caught in adultery, and there's all sorts of stuff that goes into the story. But the end of it is Jesus telling her to go and sin no more, right? Essentially saying, like, I've forgiven you. You know that you didn't deserve this. So now and go do this for other people, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to the story that Jesus tells about the wicked manager who gets a debt forgiven and then turns around and, like, his debt is like millions of dollars, right? And then he turns around and like chokes his friend about $20, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's, yeah. So as opposed to that, Jesus is like, don't do that. Don't be that dude.
Right.
Yeah. Be the one who's grateful and gracious.
So do you know?
Yes.
You do know. Okay. All right. Well.
Moving on.
I do not.
That there are some Christians out there who use this story in Matthew.
Okay.
As proof
God.
That Jesus is rich. And you should want to be rich as a Christian.
What?
I know. Because Jesus has an accountant, Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And poor people don't have accountants.
Because Judas held the common purse.
Because Judas held the common purse. That's what the subtext written by whoever wrote Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's probably not written by a guy named Matthew. And it's almost certainly not the apostle Matthew.
Do they ignore the fact that Judas was holding the common purse, which means they held all things in common and they didn't have individual property?
No, of course not.
Right. Right,
no.
Right.
We don't pay attention to that.
The author of the scripture was like, hey, Judas actually... We got to shame Judas a little bit more. This maybe, you know, a little bit of shade here is like he wanted all the money to go in the common purse because he would steal from the common purse.
That's what the author of the gospel author tells us.
The author of Matthew says, yeah. Yes.
Ah.
Judas. One more thing on Judas.
Yeah.
Judas.
Naughty, naughty.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes like we're getting out our burn book on Judas.
Right. Right.
I will say, like, regardless of our opinions of Judas and his, you know, money keeping, like, there is zero reason to think that this means Jesus was wealthy. It just means like,
absolutely.
It was a group
crazy.
It was a group of people traveling together, and Jesus said, "We're going to keep all things in common." Like, we're going to, which is what they would go on to do. Like in the Book of Acts, you see the disciples live this out that they held all things in common. And anyway,
I know, But I mean, I think this is like our distortion of like in America, you know, like we have to hold these things in tension of like part of an American ideal is just to get more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's just part of being an American. It's like you should want to get more. And giving to the poor means I'm actually trying to get less. Like I'm willfully giving more, and that means my life is made worse so that others' lives are made better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the ultimate goal in this is, and that is an act of worship of like that Jesus demonstrates. Jesus is saying, my life is going to be made worse, so humanity's lives are made better, and we should be following in that, making my life worse to make somebody else's life better. And but the Jesus is wealthy and he wants you to be wealthy. And it's okay, you don't have to give to the poor because they're always going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
You're never going to solve that problem, so forget it.
Yuck, like, yuck, yuck, yuck.
It's just such a gross way to kind of approach Jesus. That is when it's like, I'm all in on worship and not in on giving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is ridiculous.
Yeah. And at that point, I don't even know that you're all in on worship. You're all in on like...
You're all in worship of something.
Of something, yeah. That's that's fair. I'll worship of something.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Any other thoughts on Christian devotion or charity or why some Christians are gross or...
I got tons of thoughts on that.
On why Christians are gross?
Yeah. Some Christians are gross.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad I'm already a Christian.
We were talking about this right before we started recording, right? That it would be like a tough buy-in to a
lot of some hoops it feels like you got to walk through to get in the door.
Yeah.
And not to say, you know, like our church has a bunch of hoops out, you know,
no,
an obstacle course, you know,
spiritual or not. I think culturally.
It's a lot of cultural hoops. You have to be like a lot of baggage that's attached with the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would understand somebody saying, I do not want to deal with the baggage, even if I find the message of Jesus intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely understand. So.
Yeah. But here we are.
Yeah.
Putting out a podcast.
Trying.
The horrors persist.
We're trying to make that message of Jesus even more intriguing because I think it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode, be sure to check us out at beyondsundaypodcast.com, and you can send us an email with your thoughts on, I don't know, what do we want to get our thoughts on? Oh, on iguanas. What would you do with an iguana? If an iguana fell out of your tree, what would you do with it? Send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Walk around it. Continue on your way.
I don't know.
I wouldn't eat it. I mean, like.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be my first thought. Can I eat this? Can I put it on a pizza? What about a Hot Pocket?
Yeah, like anytime I find a dead animal, I'm not like, I'm going to eat. Even like, I guess it's not even dead. I want to eat that animal.
Just a slow animal.
I did catch a lizard in my house this morning, and I did not even contemplate eating it.
Not even once?
Not even thought.
Oh, man.
About eating it, yeah. No, I took it.
You're missing out on an opportunity for Jesus to bless you by selling this pizza.
Right.
Maybe I'll bring that.
You'll always
for soup. Lizard soup. I did catch a few lizards.
Oh, just tell us that it's lizard soup. That's fine. Yeah. Put something else in it and tell us it's lizard soup. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many lizards did you catch?
I've caught like 3 in the last week.
Wow. What are they doing?
A lot of lizards.
Are they in your house?
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Why are they in your house?
I don't know.
They like it in there.
They're in the fireplace. They just hang out in there.
All right. In the thing.
All right. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.